Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Tell that crowd was juiced. The anticipation of all those returners helped add to what was a great baseball game. The Astros win it. You had some complications and also some not so great news when we found out why Josh Hader was not available last night. We'll get to that. But as far as the good stuff, you had Christian Javier and his return. And yes, I'm going to start with Javier because I think his return is more consequential to what could be the Astros' fate this year than the Bregman return, clearly, unless Bregman does something in a series against the Red Sox that matters. Of course, we had seen what Correa had been since his return. He had turned it up, much to the chagrin of Twins fans, particularly Twins fans who were happy to get rid of him or thought that he would continue what had been, in their eyes, a lackluster season. He has not been that guy in Houston. Some guys just fit. And Carlos Correa in Houston is right. Him in that uniform is correct. It all looks good. And I was thinking to myself early in that game, and we'll get into more of Javier's return, but the Astros rolled out Peña, Smith, and Correa, not necessarily in that order, but those guys are in that lineup. And it's like if you're talking about guys that get off the bus, the guys for a baseball team that you want to have them get off the bus and go, that's what I want my baseball player to look like. And then Jose Altuve rolls in. I'm like, which one of these things is not like the other? Of course, Jose Altuve far has outseated anything that you might imagine that his stature would indicate about him. Yes, we all know. But it just popped in my head. It's like, those are the guys, that's if you're building a baseball team and what you want them to look like, it's those three dudes. We remember back in spring training, the Houston media could not get over the fact that Cam Smith looked great in the uniform. It got a little weird, to be honest, how much they talked about how good he looked just walking around. And then, you know, in their Monday uniforms, their special uniforms for Monday, I was like, you know what? I get it.
Those uniforms, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because it was an extra special night or whatever. Those uniforms looked extra crisp last night.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just Carlos Correa was in one. And like you said, Peña and Smith, the all get off the bus team. And I like that because baseball is the one where like it's the least important, the get off the bus factor. But I like that the Astros have that down pat with those three guys.
Yeah, they hit Smith ninth in the order, Peña first, Correa. So
yeah, it is in the order.
In that order, when you get to the bottom of the order. And I was like, huh, you know what?
I mean, in some ways, you go, they're like identical of each other as far as the body types. And then it's like, oh, look at Altuve out there. What's he doing out there following those guys?
Everyone in the stadium right now. That guy's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So that struck me as that was pretty fun to think about that team and those guys. Of course, Cam Smith being the youngest. But at this point, of course, the Pena thing is looming in the future. But it feels like those three, if they ever decide to do something they've never done and sign a guy past 5 years or 6 years, that we can be looking at Smith, Pena, and Correa for years, considering that Correa's back. The thought of him leaving again seems out of the bounds. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And Cam Smith, you expect to at least be here until, because of how baseball works, so he's like 29. Because that's just how baseball
works. Yeah, maybe
works.
He gets Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah. And then
he's here for team control.
Yeah, but at least for the next couple years, those three will be around, and that's a good solid core. Of course, you throw Correa in there as well. We'll see where Yordan stands as far as his injury. But that was fun last night. That they get the win. It got a little squirrely thanks to one Nerys. He wasn't great. He made that what felt like a runaway into, oh man, when are Abreu and Hader going to make an appearance? And neither one did.
And boy, do we have news for you for that second guy.
Yeah, well, Kurt came in and did his job. De Los Santos did a good job. And Souza came in for the final out. So that wasn't what we were expecting. And as Sean said, there's a reason for that. And we'll get to that. But Javier, and I see someone up there who does not want to talk on the show. But Javier coming back, a big deal. And it got going, and it wasn't great early. If you miss the first couple of bats, that means you miss Bregman coming back. I won't say haunt his former team, but he's a really good player, and he hit a home run. It was a ball up that did not break, and he took that out of the ballpark. He's hit a lot of balls into the Crawford boxes. That's the first one he's hit as the enemy, and he had a rousing video. It was a very well done by the Astros, and then I saw, because I didn't hear it because a lot of the game was on mute for me, I heard that his second at bat led to boos. And some people took offense to that. And I was like, you know what? He's the enemy now. You give him the applause early, and then he hit a home run. He's firmly in the place of being enemy now for a franchise that you don't like on the other side. So that was tough for Javier early, but he bounced back. He got to five innings. He threw about 85. Did he get the 86 pitches? His 85th pitch was the final. Chaz made a good play in center to end the inning. So he got to five, more economical than Arrigetti. And after the home run, there's not much scuffling. He only gave up three hits, so only one other hit besides the first inning. And that's what you're looking for. There are some things you can talk about, maybe some non-competitive pitches and so forth, and that needs to come down. But five innings for his return, and the question is, what does that mean for the future of that rotation? So far, he has the better outing than Arrigetti. We'll see when Luis Garcia comes back. We've talked about it. We just need one of those guys, whoever it is, to be someone that you can count on as your third starter in a long series, and then you can kind of cobble together who you want to be part of your bullpen, who you want to be part of long relief if needed in a postseason situation. So encouraging for Javier, the fastball topped out, or at least, averaged about 93 plus miles per hour. So I think a lot of positives, particularly to fight back after the tough start. And it led to an Astros win. You want to credit some guys beyond Javier, and I mentioned the bullpen guys who got it done. You know, Cam Smith had a good night. Chaz hit a home run. Christian Walker hit the ball hard. And Correa continues to get on base for the Astros. And Pena came, did his thing as well. Altuve, he was upset with himself for a couple of his at-bats, but he got a hit. So you had Crochet on the mound. You're down 2-0. You're like, oof, this will get tough, because he ran through that order early. But when they touched him up, they kept touching him up. And all in all, a very good night, except for the back end. You're wondering who's going to come in and close this out after Nerys struggles. And you think, okay, no Abreu. But, right, you'll go to Hader in the ninth. Hader's gonna close this out. Hader came in yesterday and said he was not feeling great. His shoulder wasn't feeling great. And the Astros have termed it and used the word that should give everyone PTSD. Discomfort shoulder discomfort, and they sent him for test. We have seen in the past that Tommy John has migrated from a guy's neck to, this Tommy John. This is a shoulder, so it could be a lot of things. But at the moment, it has been classified as discomfort, which is uncomfortable to hear because generally with the Astros, that has meant a long-term injury. Hopefully, that's not the case with Hader. Is Colton Gordon got hit with what?
No, it was Brandon Walter.
Brandon Walter
got elbow discomfort.
Had elbow discomfort, but initially that was, hey, this is fine. He'll be back in 3 weeks or so. We're going to let that thing rest, and he's going to be okay. We're going to attribute it to overworking because he had never pitched that many innings before. That was the initial diagnosis, and that's what it remains. I don't know where Brandon Walter is in his recovery. Hopefully, if it is something that keeps Hader away from the team, that it's in that realm where they can diagnose it quickly, give him a couple weeks off, and maybe discomfort is really just soreness. And you can hope. That's where I am. No assumptions, no diagnosis, although Sean Mapes, MD, should maybe make an appearance at some point. But right now, hoping for the best.
This is in my purview as a doctor, but I will say, if this is serious, it's over.
The season, or
yeah, just
oh, if Hader
can't
go,
pack things up. If this
even
is
with
serious.
even with all the Correa joy and Javier coming back,
you saw the bullpen last night.
Well, that wasn't a Reese. Then Abreu could slide in to be the closer,
and then Brian King will be the setup. Benetsusa. That's where I'm at. It's the, you know, domino effect more so. And you feel it a lot when both Abreu and Hader can't go on the same night. Then it's like, ooh, who is going to close this one out? Because things have gotten hairy. Right. But yeah, I think that, you know, Josh Hader's one of the best closers in baseball. And
he is.
This is a team that's on pretty razor-thin margins to win the division and to go far in the playoffs. To lose him would not be good. But hopefully it is just a discomfort.
Discomfort.
Just discomfort.
Little tired in that shoulder, excuse me. And you need a little rest, a couple days off, right?
Is it the left shoulder? Because it'd be super cool if it was the right one. They should actually say it's the right one if it's not. Or if it is.
I don't know that it is the right one. I'm okay. Going to assume it is not. Doesn't feel like we're going to catch that break. Like if you need a Tommy John in your off arm, not that it would be the elbow in that case, but a rotator cuff issue in the off arm.
Yeah.
How would you explain that?
Slept on it funny.
I mean, there are jokes to be made,
he's
but
31, how, you know, or 30.
Just general soreness and now he's got a rotator cuff issue.
Yeah, he slept on it funny.
While that would be funny and preferential, don't feel like it's the off arm. Feels like it's the arm that has made him one of the best closers in baseball and a very rich man. We got to see.
Gosh.
Is he right-handed when he writes? Maybe he's just writing a lot of thank you letters and his arm got sore. What's the deal? I don't know. I'm just looking for ways for it not to be the left arm now that you brought it up.
Yeah, no, because they didn't say left shoulder.
True. They did not say. But it's generally, I think.
It's a 50-50 chance.
I feel like it's more 99% to 1% that it is the actual left shoulder. Because I think a spotter would have mentioned, he slept on it wrong. He was writing a lot of thank you notes. It's his right arm because he writes with his right hand.
He went to the zoo with his kid and carried him the whole time.
Yeah, you know, he was teasing the apes and the ape yanked on his right arm, whatever. And
that would have been the story.
And thankfully,
Caesar the ape,
the keepers got to him in time. Yeah, Josh made a mistake. But it was at least it was his right arm.
Level film of PSA. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't taunt the apes at the Houston Zoo. But no, it doesn't feel like that's the reason why he came in. And it's probably, I'm not even going to say probably, definitely his left arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll see. Negative outside of Norris's performance. The one negative is your closer, is his health is in question.
Yeah. And Norris being bad. A isn't like too much of a break from form.
He was out of work before they brought him back.
Yeah, and he's probably, last night probably like reaffirmed it, but he's the odd next odd man out when a pitcher needs his roster spot.
True. True. He is one of those guys who will get designated.
He got the 10 years.
Yeah, service. that was the news from yesterday.
That's probably good timing.
Yeah.
Because now you get the full
pension
and
all
and
that
now
stuff.
It's like, all right, cool. See you. Thanks for the memories.
You think he's like a cop? He was just hanging on?
Yeah, I think he was.
Get the 10 years.
I think he was a cop just hanging on.
And now it's time I can walk away with my pension. I never really thought about that. Like, you see that in movies, but I never thought about that, like, in real life. Like, Norris is like, just give me the 10 years.
Yeah.
Give me the 10 years, and then anything after that is gravy.
Yeah, the benefits are probably awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he has made plenty of money. Not as much as some, but more than plenty.
Yeah. I think he's in that spot where it's like still – it still would matter.
Yeah, what's his overhead?
Kind of money.
Yeah, what's his overhead? What is Norris spending?
Imagine he's taking care of some people. Mom, parents.
I don't know. What if he was just like, this is my money? he never gave anyone anything.
He just like, nope, this is second boat. That's what this is.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been like, his life as a reliever, he's never going to get a giant contract. His biggest deal, he got from the Cubs. The Astros gave him money in 2022, T-year, $17 million. The Cubs gave him a one-year, $9 million deal. So he's fine as long as he doesn't have the problems that Malik Beasley has.
We're all fine if we don't have the problems that Malik Beasley has.
I assume Malik Beasley would have been fine with all the money he's made, and apparently not. So as long as Norris doesn't have those problems, he should be okay. But he did – yeah, that was a story. He did reach 10 years, and the players celebrated that, and then he went out there and – put them in a bad spot.
Gave the Red Sox a chance in the ninth.
Yeah, but the Astros combined to find a way. Now we just wait on Hader. All right, we'll go to break with that. There was more injury news in this town. You could say from a player probably not as important to his team's championship hopes as one Josh Hader, but a guy who was coming back from an injury. And while we don't know the diagnosis, and we all learned a lesson from assuming something about an injury at Texans practice with the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson issue. We know that what happened to Brevin Jordan was something that affected the players quite a bit. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on that. We'll talk about an odd conversation surrounding it and how like reporters had to come to the fence of the player voted number 39 by all the other players in the NFL top 100 list. So we'll get to that when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So yesterday at Texas practice, Brevin Jordan goes down. The reporting by the guys on scene was that it was a very emotional scene. Brevin Jordan, as you might imagine, was in anguish because he missed all of last year due to an injury, and he gets hurt after all that time trying to work his way back before he even plays in a regular season game. We don't know the extent of the injury, but it appears like something that's very serious if you just go by the reactions. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans, and then we'll talk about something that kind of just worked its way on social media and reporters having to step out to, in some ways, defend the quarterback. But here's D'Amico Ryans on the injury to Brevin Jordan.
No, unfortunately, we guys are here. We saw Brevin go down with injury. We'll continue to evaluate Brev and see where he is. It's tough for everybody to see Brevin going down, knowing how much work he's put in to get back to this point of playing football and how excited he was to get back playing football. So just praying for him to have a successful return.
Yeah, the last impactful thing we can think of right from Brevin Jordan was a long touchdown against the Browns in the playoffs. He took a screen or something and took it all the way. And, of course, wasn't available last year, and then we'll see. Feels like he's going to be down for a significant amount of time. And the reporting around the reaction of the players, of course, everyone on a knee, at least a majority of the team on the knee, people hoping for the best, an emotional scene, which led to the conversation about C.J. Stroud. We know C.J. has shown emotion when it comes to his guys. The Tank Dell injury affected him, and that was an ugly one against the Chiefs. He has, in some ways, worn his heart on his sleeve when it comes to his guys, and apparently that was the case yesterday. And people didn't like it. At least some people didn't. People came to his defense. But I didn't know that CJ's emotions were a problem for people until I saw the pushback from some of the reporters who saw what happened. They mentioned there was no crying. They mentioned that emotions are normal. Guys love each other out there. Their teammates do this. I did not know there was this thought that the quarterback is a little too in his feelings. Yes. You don't see it a lot. Like, a lot of time quarterbacks are kind of stoic. When other guys are hurt, they are generally either talking to their OC or the head coach or in the huddle getting ready for the next play. So I guess what CJ does is out of the norm a little bit, but I didn't know there was a strong contingent of people telling their quarterback to toughen up because they've seen him react to major injuries to and I guess his pass catchers for the most part.
Yeah, the Tank Dell one. I remember it from the Tank Dell injury, last December? I think, yeah, because it was, I think we talked about it on the, at Nick's for the Christmas party. I think we talked about it there. And it is something that I understand what people are getting at, especially during a game where they're like, hey, dude, can you stop crying?
And we're still trying to win this game.
I at least understand it, but I do think it's a little too much to actually criticize him for and be like, this is why every shortcoming we have is because a guy cries when his teammates get hurt. And by the way, only with the most devastating injuries from what it sounds like. Like the Brevin Jordan reporting was like, oh no, this one looked gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tank Dell one, obviously, pretty gnarly on its own. So, yeah, I think it's just something that people can get to complain about.
Yes, this is just one man's report. This is from Aaron Wilson yesterday. An extremely emotional moment for Brevin Jordan and his teammates, reminiscent of how team, including C.J. Stroud and others, reacted when Tank Dell got hurt. It's a close-knit locker room, and Brevin is a popular, positive presence. And then he quote tweets that. I guess people were like, crying again or whatever. Yeah. People were responding. He goes, he didn't see tears. He said just the normal reaction when a player on your team gets hurt like that. So I don't think it was out of bounds from what I can tell from all the reporters. But I did not know, but I guess I should have known that watching your quarterback show emotion, and it's not fiery. Like, he's not yelling. He's not let's go. If he's in tears or near tears, is going to bother people. This is practice. This didn't happen in a game. I get if you have, let's go, we're still trying to win this game. Yeah. You want him to tough enough, but it's a practice where no one was wearing pads. What do you care how he responded? Do you think it speaks to his mental toughness? We've seen him play on the NFL level for 2 years in a row. We know what he's got. We know what he's got in him. It's not like he curled into a ball the rest of that Chiefs game.
Yeah.
It's not like he wasn't performing. He was one of the only people keeping that offense afloat, considering how bad the O-line was. So I don't take much from it. Relax, everyone, at least in my eyes. Until we see him unable to take a snap because of the emotion of something, maybe we just let him have the moments in those moments and realize he can put it aside and go play ball. Because that's what we've seen. And once again, this was a practice. I don't care that much if he showed that much emotion. The only thing I do care about is the fact that what was considered, at least your move tight end, I don't know where you want to put him if you think he's behind Kate Stover when they're trying to run the football in heavy sets, but he was going to be a part of that offense because of what he does, not just as a pass catcher, but after the catch. They missed him last year, particularly with Dalton Schultz not having the year he was supposed to have. Now we'll see. Dalton Schultz said he was dealing with injuries because he was asked about it. He didn't offer that, but he was asked about he said, yeah, I had some stuff to take care of in the offseason, so maybe we get a better Dalton Schultz. But Brevin Jordan was probably going to be a big part of at least a a integral part in some of the things they did, and that doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So more on Cade Stover's play, who we saw caught a ball in, on the first drive of this of the first series, excuse me, the first series of their game against Minnesota in the preseason. Now he probably elevates into a more important piece, even if it is in the passing game, which he caught enough balls at Ohio State to know he's got that in him. He's just not going to be the dynamic force that Brevin Jordan is in the passing game. So until we know more, we'll just set it aside as a major injury to Brevin Jordan. And if they luck out again and it's not as bad as we as initially reported, great. We'll wait on that. And as we wait on what actually is wrong with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson as well.
But then what do we talk about? Oh, CJ Stroud crying.
Yeah, or we could talk about him being voted number 39 by the players, which...
Did he cry during that?
I don't know if he was interviewed by...
This is the knock that Texans fans have with... Or some Texans fans have with CJ Stroud, where it's like, oh, here we go.
you're going to cry again?
Yeah.
I would take him crying, if he needs to do that, over missing open guys like he did last year. He didn't do it a lot, but he did it enough for it to be noticeable, and this isn't the conversation about why it was all his fault. I mean, no one can, at least some people can't have the discussion without saying, why you blame CJ? The offensive line sucked. Bobby Slowick sucked. Yes, all those things are true. But CJ had his moments as well. It was a combination of things that led to that offense taking a turn for the worse, throwing the injuries to the receivers, although Tank Dell was around until late in the year. So it is couched as, oh, he didn't have his top pass catchers. Yes, Stephon Diggs got hurt. But Tank Dell got hurt in a playoff game, right?
Christmas.
The first Chiefs game, in the regular season. So Tank Dell played 14 games last year. So he was around for quite a bit before he got hurt. The Stephon Diggs thing you want to lean into, cool. But he did have his top two pass catchers from the year before when he was one of the stories of the NFL. So he played his part. The injuries played their part. The offensive line, Slowick, all that stuff. But still, number 39 on the NFL top 100. We'll hear part of that because you're going to hear Nico Collins talk about him and Will Anderson talk about what they think of their quarterback. He was number 20 last year. He's now 39, but still in the top 40. Higher than Will Anderson, which, when you watch the two play last year, that's wrong. But CJ dropped from 20. Will Anderson increased. I guess the players didn't wanna drop CJ any further than 19 spots. But do I think he was the 39th best player in football last year? No, I don't. And for emphasis, I'm actually shaking my head for people who are watching. I do not think he was the 39th best player in football last year.
Yeah, but this list is also like basically just like fantasy football ratings. Like it is all skill position and then some and defense.
Yeah, if you're a defensive end, you'll get thrown in there.
It's all the like
Chris
high
Jones
profile positions.
In tackle. Yeah, he'll get thrown in there because he's been doing it and an all pro for years. But yes, there are probably some defensive tackles who don't make the list, who aren't pass rushers that are the best player, a top 100 player in football, but they won't make the list.
Guards.
Just how it goes. Yeah, of course. Of course. They're just non-glamour positions whose stats aren't going to be something that leads to making these lists. We'll hear that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's the place you go to anytime you got a plumbing problem. Big, small, medium. They're the people. They're the guys and ladies who will help you fix that problem. You don't know what you're doing. You just know there's a problem. If you got dirty, stinky water and you don't know why, Aqueduct Plumbing will figure it out. If you know there's a leak and can't fix it, they'll do that for you too. John told a story earlier this morning about when he was a kid and his water heater blew up. Aqueduct Plumbing Company can check your water heaters as well, whether they're tankless or the traditional ones. They do all that. They have a nice, handy drop-down menu that when you go on the website, which is aqueductplumbingcompany.com, it'll show you all the services they provide. And, of course, you can call them as well at 281-488-6238. Get yourself a free price quote because, like I said, you don't know what to do to fix the problem, but you know there's a problem. Let them take a look so you don't pay for just someone diagnosing your problem. That sucks. You want to pay for the work, not for someone telling you what the issue is. So Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you there. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. So Sean and I were talking about our issues with the top 100 list during the break.
Yeah, because I realized I only know where CJ Stroud is, and I roughly remember where Will Anderson is, like in the 50s. And every other person on this list, I had no idea where they were. I don't agree with every pick, I'll say. Actually, I don't agree with a lot of them.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Just the reasoning. I get it's like a committee, so there's not like one thought process guiding this. But they're penalizing guys for getting hurt, but then also putting them on the list, but behind guys that they're way better than.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Makes little to no like, sense.
Bo Nix being like 60th, and then Dak Prescott being like 79th. I'm like, guys, we got to do better. We just have to do better.
Just have a standard. If the guy doesn't play more than 12 games, keep him off the list. But if he does, rate him how you would normally rate him.
Yeah, or if you want to like throttle him down a little bit. For, you know, oh, maybe he's not the same guy after gruesome injury.
If he doesn't play as well, sure, but dropping or putting Bo Nix above Dak Prescott, considering the child lock offense that Bo Nix got to run in Denver, is nonsense. Yeah. But it's a player's list, and CJ Stroud is number 39. Here's a snippet of what you can find in its entirety. Like if you go to the NFL Twitter account, you'll see CJ's entire segment. But you're going to hear from Nico. In fact, you'll hear Nico Collins first. You'll hear someone, Will Anderson, talking about CJ Stroud, who is the 39th best player according to the players.
Black Panther.
Black Panther. What is that?
I don't know, man. I just came off the head. They're quiet, you know what I'm saying? When it's time for them to attack, they attack. You know, I feel like they're one of the strongest animals. It just sounded good.
Here we go, baby. Let's go. Let's get it, man. Don't put it on tape. Let's go.
That's a guy that's a leader. That's a guy that when he walks in the room, everybody's like, that's Cap right there.
Put in the work. Be confident. Let's go.
He didn't come in this year and play like a second-year guy. He's coming in playing like a vet who's been in this league for a long time, and I think teams fear him for that.
Deep shot. Stroud. Nico Collins is gone. Touchdown, Houston. 67 yards on the ball.
They know he can sling the ball.
Look at that throw. Right on the money.
They know he can make the dynamic plays with his legs.
CJ with the arm. And with the legs, getting the Texans in range.
Yeah, so that's just a bit of what you can hear. You heard from Nico Collins. Will Anderson certainly loves him. Some CJ Stroud. CJ got called two superheroes in that. First Black Panther by Nico Collins. And then Cap, Captain America, in some ways by Will Anderson. You heard one of our favorites, Iron Eagle. And then you heard the enemy, Sean. You heard Mark Vandermeer talk about CJ Stroud. I thought about cutting that out, but I said, nah, it's petty. Who cares? Mark Vandermeer, who once spoke at my school. He came in back when I was in the small hallways of Alvin Community College on the radio side. Like, you have the main campus, and then across the street, I think it's called the K Building, you have the radio station and the building that houses communications. He comes in. This was him maybe 3 or 4 years into his Texans run. I think he got here at the beginning, 2002.
Yeah.
I only wanted to ask him about his time calling Miami Hurricane games because his final year there, I believe, was their national title season. And then he left to become the Texans play-by-play guy. So, yeah, Texans, whatever. David Carr, whatever. What about Ken and Ed Reed and stuff like that? That's where my questions were. you're calling the game for an NFL team. Whatever.
The first voice of the
whatever. What about the team that would have beat this NFL team in 2002? If the 2001 team, like that stupid conversation.
Did they have that?
I
don't remember. But okay, good.
Those conversations always good. Happen.
I'm glad they have. Because an expansion team is about as close as you'll get.
Yes,
to.
Particularly when you don't even get to play Tony Boselli because he's not.
Yeah.
Actually available.
And then you have like four NFL running backs in the backfield for a college.
Yeah.
Team.
That conversation pops up every now and again when we start to talk
I'll entertain that one.
Best teams in college football history. Could the 2019 LSU team beat this team? Who? You know, all that stuff. We didn't have, but Jimbo Fisher was on. I think he was on the Freddie Stevenson podcast, which is one of his former players.
Yeah.
He was like a utility back at Florida State. And the conversation about that 2013 Florida State team that had Jameis, had Kelvin Benjamin. Trying to think of the running back. I don't think Cook was on that team. I don't know if Dalvin was on that team. But you had some guys. Dominant, and of course – those two. Yeah, best team of all time.
Was it Carlos Williams?
Maybe. I think that sounds right. Yeah, some NFL players like Nigel Bradham was on that team. And
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Jalen Ramsey as a sophomore or freshman maybe even. So that team.
There's a D-tackle.
They won a national title.
Timmy Juergen.
Probably going to have some pretty good players. how it works. But,
naming some guys.
Yeah.
Some guys from
over a decade ago now who – other than Jalen Ramsey, you know, Kelvin Benjamin had an okay career until he got too big to not even play receiver. Too big to play tight end. And, of course, Jalen Ramsey's the guy who's still around making plays. But Jimbo was on that podcast, and Jimbo Fisher said, hey, I'd love to get back in the game. He's currently, working for the ACC. But
yeah.
That 2013 team. The LSU
Devontae
team,
Freeman.
Yeah, that was the running back. There it is. 2001 Miami. I don't – maybe with Florida would probably say their 2018 with the Pouncies and Aaron Hernandez and, of course, Tebow at quarterback. So there are some teams. It would have been 2005 USC in the mix, except Texas took care of that. So you can't even include that team because they didn't win it,
yeah.
Although it's still very talented. You probably have to go with the 2004 team. So those debates will continue on. I don't know that any team – in the 2025 season, will be up for best team of all time.
Probably Penn State, right?
They're the number two team in the country, as we told you yesterday.
Yeah, good running backs, good defense.
That's about it, as far as
receiver from Syracuse.
Yeah, they did hit the transfer portal hard to go get themselves some receivers, and they'll
Drew Aller, of course.
Yeah, I almost did not want to mention Drew Aller because all it does is devolve into us making fun of Drew Aller, so I didn't want to do it. We got plenty of that to go as the season is approaching. I don't want to waste all our Drew Aller ammo in August. We'll be talking about Drew Aller quite a bit, and Penn State will be one of the teams under the microscope, number two team in the country according to the AP. That poll came out yesterday. And there was something involving Texas beyond being the first time ever that they're the preseason number one. They also did something else for the first time that we'll get into probably in the second hour. Has little to do with them and more to do with their opponent. So we'll talk about that. We'll always try to hit on college football a little bit. I believe we are way past the break, so we'll go to break here. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Some of the Rocket schedule is out. Their opponents for some of the big days in the NBA season are out as well. So we'll talk about that and talk about a whiff by the NBA that our intern Chase pointed out. And it was a very astute point. And it's why the NBA continues for some reason to miss out on chances to take advantage of days like opening night and also Christmas. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
The Rockets were surprisingly good last year. They lost in the first round, so they went out and got Kevin Durant to help them. Certainly be better on offense late. And reasonable decision to go get one of the best scorers of all time to help you in your late game offense. And what that has led to is more times for people to get their eyes on the Rockets in big spots. So opening night, it's Rockets versus the defending champions. That's on NBC Peacock. So you'll get we'll get our first taste of the NBC Peacock broadcast, unless they do some preseason stuff. But Durant back in OKC. And this week, I believe, Kevin Durant, because he is always online, said it's about time they won one because someone was criticizing him or something. He said it's about time they won one. It took 10 years. And then someone said, why did it take 10 years, Kevin? Why? You know that geese, that goose meme where the goose is yelling at you and then pretty much saying, tell us why. It's because of you leaving. So Kevin Durant goes back to Oklahoma City to face off against the champions. The same night, it'll be Lakers-Warriors. That wasn't what our intern Chase took issue with, because that's a reasonable way to start your return to broadcasting basketball on NBC. The two seed versus the champions, and then Steph versus LeBron in L.A. It was the Christmas night, or the Christmas Day game, so you needed to have an Eastern Conference game early, so you throw the Cavs versus the Knicks.
It's normally a MSG home game.
Yeah, and the only reasonable team, considering how weak the East is going to be, is to throw the one seed Cavs. Yeah,
you probably can't find another.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando's supposed to be good, but no one cares about the Magic, so it's whatever. And yeah. So you throw the Cavs on. I'm sure they would have hoped for Boston, but they know the deal there. Spurs, Thunder. Okay, Wimby versus Chet, that stuff. The Spurs, who have done a lot through the draft and getting Castle and Harper and, of course,
they
Wimby.
Should be decent.
And then they have Fox for a full season. They should be decent against the champs. The champs are going to get a featured game. That one's on ABC, ESPN. So this is the issue. You have Mavs, Warriors, and then Lakers, Rockets back-to-back. It feels like those should be flipped.
Okay, so that's in order.
Yes,
so
the Mavs at the Warriors, Rockets at Lakers.
Mavs at Warriors, and so that's like the, 6 o'clock
game? 4 o'clock game our time.
4 o'clock our time, yeah. Okay.
And then the other game is Rockets at Lakers.
And is that like 8 o'clock?
Yes, and then the nightcap is Wolves, Nuggets. Makes sense, they played in the playoffs, whatever. You got Anthony Edwards,
yeah.
Whatever.
Okay,
makes
at least sense. We're not the last game. I thought for a second you're setting up the Rockets were the last game.
No, what I meant by being flipped is the matchup should be flipped.
The
Rockets should be going to Golden State. Kevin Durant back to Golden State. The Rockets have the player who said no to the Warriors when they won the trade for him in the
Lakers
season.
Mavs, yeah.
And Lakers should be going to Dallas. Every time you have one of these big games, whether the opening night or Christmas, you send Luka back to Dallas.
I get it. It's the new Shaq-Kobe matchup where I think that's kind of obviously the NBA on Christmas has a long history.
Yeah.
But I feel like they really made a lot of gains just by making it Miami versus LA every year for 3 years.
First time that Shaq had a chance to play the Lakers.
Yeah.
It was on Christmas in LA. Shaq, Kobe, or are they going to shake hands? Are they going to dab each other up? That was all part of the
And then I think they did it the next year, or maybe the year after Miami won the title.
Shaq was only there for three and a half. So did he make it to the fourth season? No, he was. I think
they traded him
in the middle of the.
Eight, nine.
I think he got traded in the middle of his fourth season there, three and a half years there in Miami. So it's a big whiff, I think. Why wouldn't you just send Luka back to Dallas on Christmas Day?
If I were to guess, I would guess Luka just because you can make another major game out of that.
And
he's already he's already done it.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's going away. Luka versus the guy against Cooper. Not that he's going directly against him, but the old franchise versus the new franchise.
Yeah.
Stuff
yeah.
like that. You can sell that. But I get it. They may think, hey, Christmas is our day. Not anymore. The NFL's taking that from you. But they may think, hey, this is a time where everyone's focused on us. We'll use that matchup, Luka in LA, or excuse me, Luka in Dallas for a different day where we think the eyes will be on
us. To get
us.
Make that
Tuesday on TNT?
I guess, yeah.
What other day does the NBA have besides Christmas?
Not in the
an opening night.
Before MLK and
NFL
but season ends.
Yeah, it'll have to be MLK. Yeah, that's the only other day that they'll take.
Yeah, maybe the, I mean, they don't own, the, like, this isn't, like, a event day, but it is, like, kind of a day that they're the only show in town. It's, like, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, like, the day before Thanksgiving. But then it's, like, last year it was, like, Rockets 76ers. Like, it was not a.
Yeah. I don't know if they plan. I don't know if they see that day as a big day. But, yeah, that's your Christmas Day slate. Your Rockets will be there.
And they'll go
to the Lakers.
And it's LeBron versus KD. Like, I think there's a little bit of that.
There's another, understood. There's another reason to do
just
it. But
like, hey, we can just press the LeBron button.
Sure. But LeBron versus anybody works. So I would just
And LeBron versus Steph would go stupid too.
Yeah, and that's
too.
Why they're doing that on opening night.
You know what it is? They played last year on Christmas. Right?
Yes.
It wasn't Lakers.
It was
Warriors.
A great game.
Yeah.
One of the better games of the season, and they played on Christmas. Oh, so they can't do that again?
No.
Who would hate that?
No. Can't do that.
So there it is. Your Rockets will get more attention, including Christmas. And even opening night, they'll have a real test. They'll have to wait. The problem with opening night is when you got to play the champs, you got to wait through the ceremony. The game's not going to start when they say it's going to start.
No.
So be prepared to bake in another 25 to 30 minutes before the game actually begins.
Yes, because NBC will definitely do the thing where it's like it starts at 7 and the like ring ceremony starts at 7:15.
Yeah.
they want you to watch the pregame desk. And then the ceremony.
So the game is scheduled to start at 7:30. The question, so you think they'll do the ring thing at 7:15, or will they do it at 7:30 and it stretches like 7:45? But they probably won't because they have a doubleheader. So they will probably do the ring ceremony 15 to 20 minutes before the game, and then they'll lead into the game, and then they have their doubleheader. So that might save you from the extra 30 minutes where the game actually starts at 8 because they do have a doubleheader that night. So be ready. We got some time. Certainly the NFL season will begin. We'll be deep into that season before the Rockets start. But they're going to be a point of – excuse me, they're going to be appointment viewing for the entire league. How good can this Rockets team be? And they'll get their first challenge against the Thunder. Hopefully it's like one of those nights where the Thunder have a hangover.
Yeah,
not from the champagne.
Not up for it.
But they're just not up for it. Hey, just celebrate, and the Rockets go on there, and
they're doing TikTok dances.
Well, they're of
while they're getting their rings.
They're of the age.
They're all worried about what Instagram caption they're going to put on the story.
Yes, let's lean into all the tropes for millennials.
Meanwhile, you have Kevin Durant.
I mean, not even millennials, Gen Zers. Yeah,
Kevin Durant, who's definitely not terminally online.
But
nope.
But he doesn't do TikTok, Sean.
He does a respectable. Social media.
Yeah, he will tweet at you and well actually you and petty you.
Yeah, call you the B word.
Yeah,
and keep it moving.
But at least he's not dancing on TikTok like those soft ass Thunder. They just won a title, but still, at least he ain't dancing. Although Kevin Durant did plenty of dancing before TikTok and like huddles and stuff.
Yeah, there's like a pretty famous video.
Yes,
of him dancing.
It's embarrassing. From years ago now. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll get more into the Astros because, yeah, they won last night. The Mariners did not play, so it's still a game lead, and the pitching is coming back. The hater thing is a little downer. If you missed it, we'll tell you about the status of Josh Hader. Get back into the game because it was a nice night last night. And we'll actually play the Correa ovation as he made his return to Houston. It was one of many returns. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.